My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be
on our Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text line, we have on with us college football analyst for CBS Sports, also host of Cover 3 Football Podcast, Danny Cannell. Danny, thanks so much for joining us. And Danny, you're in an unusual situation. You've evacuated from the storm and you're in New York today, correct?
I am in New York City, so if you hear some sirens, if you hear horns beeping, I am standing on the street at 59th Street and Lexington Avenue. I brought my wife. So I had to come up here for work, and I brought my wife and my youngest daughter with me to kind of get them out of harm's way. My teenage daughters, they'll be fine. Like, yeah, if they get a little wet, if they get a little damaged, they'll be fine. But I brought my wife and my 12-year-old with me, and they're shopping right now. So I'm out in the streets of New York City doing this interview. So, you know, if you hear anybody yelling at me, it's just a deranged homeless person.
I got you, Danny. Thanks so much. We appreciate your time. It was just announced, and I know you got to see him play at both Oklahoma and South Carolina. Your thoughts, you haven't played the position on your first start, and sometimes you get that opportunity because of injuries, that Spencer Rattler will start this coming Sunday against the Buccaneers.
Yes, I remember my first start like it was yesterday. I was on the road against the Arizona Cardinals, and I was on the New York Giants, and I remember how nervous I was and, you know, how much anticipation you have, and yet it's also a fulfillment of a lifelong dream to be able to start for an NFL team, and I'm sure Spencer Rattler is going through all those emotions. I think the most important thing to remember is you got to set all those emotions aside, the ticket requests from family members who are going to come watch you play, and prep your tail off, because the one thing that you have to be, and this is either a backup or especially for a guy who's a rookie coming in, you got to be ready for blitz packages, because that's what they're going to throw at you. They're going to test you early and often to see if you know where to go with the football, to see if your offensive line has their blitz pickup package ready to go. They're going to be testing you. So, and then, you know, there's always a temptation to do too much, you know, to make some errant throws. It's okay to take a sack. It's not the end of the world. If you have to throw it away, live to survive another down. But I'm sure they'll put him in a good position, have a nice game plan for him where I'm sure it's probably pared down just a little bit. But I was really impressed with the career arc of Spencer Rattler. He'd been through a lot. He kind of had a bad rap because as a high schooler, he was, you know, younger and immature and made some foolish decisions on a national stage, which I think we all would have. And then he took the long road. But I love what I saw him at South Carolina as one of the tougher quarterbacks in college football, and I think it's going to be exciting to see him get this opportunity.
Danny, from a talent standpoint, and we all agree with this, he can spin it. I mean, now he's got to be smart, and I agree with you totally, of where to go with the football. And with Todd Bowles, you know, he's an old hand at this. He's going to show you looks and pull out at the last minute and try to confuse you to make some bad throws. But he certainly is the more talented of the two guys when you just watching him throw the football between Jake Haener and Spencer Rattler. On to college football, your thoughts on LSU Ole Miss, where I think it started maybe at 3, and maybe it's down now to 2.5 or 2. Ole Miss at LSU in Tiger Stadium. Danny, here's the one thing. I would love to have the alcohol sales for the 48 hours leading up to that game, because we wouldn't have to work for the next 3 years with the money made off of that.
You are not lying about that. My goodness, both these fan bases know how to put a few cocktails back. And I'm sure that nighttime, you know, primetime kickoff, they're going to have all day to be tailgating, and the place is going to be absolutely bonkers. I love this game. And you know what I think about this game? I think this is the first of, you know, what we're going to start seeing across college football is really what's going to feel like a playoff elimination game. You know, both teams have one loss. If you go to 2, yes, you're still in the race, but then all of a sudden you might need help. You start looking around. And if you lose this game, it just leaves zero margin for error. So I think this is going to be the first of many, you know, playoff elimination games. And I tell you, I honestly believe this. I think people are sleeping on LSU. I actually like the Tigers to win the game outright. I've already seen a lot from them. I think their defense is improved. I know they had the rough game that they had there in South Carolina, but they came out there with a win, which is all that matters. I know the defense still has some issues, but I do think it's better. And I'm not sold on Ole Miss just yet. I go back to the Kentucky game, and I know they went to South Carolina and imposed their will and got out of there with a pretty impressive win. But I think on the road, I'm really curious to see how Jackson Dart does here, their quarterback in this environment, you know, with an absolutely just crazy scene. I don't know if we're going to see the same type of game last year where it was 55-49. I think you'll see some fireworks, but I think both these defenses are completely different than they were last year.
Danny, I think one of the things in watching Jackson over a period of time, there were some things this year in a couple games. He overlooked a short, easy throw to try to hit the home run shot. I think that's part of his DNA. I also think it's part of the DNA of Lane Kiffin, that he wants to hit that big chunk play. But he's passed up some easier connections underneath to try to hit that big play. And you know as well as anybody, sometimes that doesn't work out well, just throwing that deep ball constantly. And that may be where Nussmeier, man, he's like a surgeon. He sort of cuts you and cuts you and cuts you, and you die from 1,000 cuts with those throws. He's not going to try to hit that deep ball all the time. He's more surgically kind of cut you up and lead that eight-play drive downfield.
I totally agree with you. He's one of my favorite stories, too, and it was well-documented in that national game against USC, which I know they came up short, but somebody who waited their opportunity, stood behind Jaden Daniels, you know, didn't transfer, didn't go anywhere else. And as the son of a coach, it's not surprising at all that he looks in command. Like, I think that's exactly what you're describing. When you say surgical, I think somebody who knows the ins and outs of the system, where to go with the football quickly. If there's if somebody comes unblocked, you know exactly where to go with the football. If, you know, knows how to anticipate what defenses are throwing at you, knows when the right time to take the shot play down the field. And that is, to me, a very mature quarterback who hasn't started a lot of games, but he looks really mature. And then when you mention Jackson Dart, it's a little bit surprising because he's played way more football. This is his third year as the starter. And for him, and I agree with you, to make some of those choices, including at the end of the Kentucky game when they're still in a chance to win and driving, trying to get down, you know, into the red zone and trying to keep that game alive, tried to extend the play a little bit too long, could have thrown it away. Instead, he gets sacked. It's a turnover and the game is over. He does have that, you know, that knack for trying to make a little bit too much happen, and he's got to dial that back in, because in this type of game, turnovers are going to be a premium, and that crowd's going to go bonkers, and they're going to thrive off that. So I think that's a really good point that you make, and something to watch out for Jackson Dart. Got to be patient within the system. The big shots will come. You just got to be patient sometimes taking those checkdowns.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
A game everybody will be watching along with Ole Miss, LSU, Ohio State, Oregon, 4-point favorite Ohio State. I watch Oregon Friday night. It looks as though they were taking a peek ahead. They weren't playing their best. Now, their defense, man, they got after it pretty good against Michigan State. But your thoughts on Oregon, Ohio State? I know Tim Brando and I talked about this. I would not be surprised when it's all said and done that Oregon plays for the national championship.
They actually were my preseason pick to win the national championship, and they've had a little bit of a slow start, and I was a little bit worried about it after two games. You know, they struggled against Idaho, who's an FCS program, albeit a really good one. Then they played against Boise State, and it was a tight game where they needed a couple special teams touchdown to win. But then, like, as the season's gone on, they've gotten better, and I think that's something to note, because we always expect teams to come out of the gate just clicking on all cylinders. With the amount of transfers and new players, and especially a new quarterback like Dillon Gabriel, it's going to take time for him to get used to that system, used to his wide receivers, used to his running backs, the mesh points, and some of that RPO game. And as he's gone on, I know he had two rough interceptions against Michigan State, but like you said, I thought they were kind of, I thought maybe that he was taking some chances that maybe he wouldn't in the type of game against Ohio State, kind of seeing what he can get away with, seeing what his receivers, what type of plays they can make. But I think they've got consistently better. And most importantly, his offensive line, which has been hurt a lot of the season, all of a sudden, after giving up five sacks in the first two games, they've given up zero sacks in the last three games. They're protecting him a lot better. I think this game, it's you know, there's so many great games this weekend. This one's probably, I think we're going to learn the most, because Ohio State, as great as they've been, they have not been tested yet. And this will be the best opponent and clearly the most hostile environment they'll be in. And they've been awesome, but they haven't been tested yet. And I think this is a game that in the second half, potentially the fourth quarter, the Buckeyes could be looking up at the scoreboard and seeing either a tie game or up three or down three. And you really never know how a team's going to respond until they've been there. And Oregon has already been there. They've been tested. And so I think this game's going to be awesome. But I agree with you. I like the pieces that Oregon has in place. And I actually like them in this spot, especially getting the points. But I don't hate them to win the game outright either.
Penn State, USC. And I know USC's got two losses to them. But, man, James Franklin, he would count this as a big win because he hasn't won a lot of them, certainly when he's went up against Ohio State or Michigan. Your thoughts here with Penn State traveling out to California, so to speak, and having to play the Trojans?
Yeah, the travel has been an early storyline in the Big Ten specifically. The teams that have traveled across two time zones, which, of course, Penn State is going to be doing going out to the West Coast, are 1-8 outright, not against the spread. They're 1-8 in those games. It's a challenge. And, you know, I got to do it somewhat in the NFL. Different teams took different approaches. Some of them left two nights early, which Penn State did. It just takes its toll on your body. You know, you're not used to it. You're creatures of habit. And they're going to go out there and play a USC team, which really has its backs against the wall. They're coming off a loss to Minnesota. Pressure starting to mount on Lincoln Riley. And for James Franklin, like, this is a game he's favored to win. He's supposed to win as sort of that third best team in the Big Ten. But I again, another team that I don't think has been tested, like they're going to be tested against USC. LSU knows how good that USC team can be when they're clicking on all cylinders. So I think, I like a lot of the home teams, the home underdogs this weekend. I love them with the points. I don't know if I love USC to win the game outright, but I'll go ahead and take those points. Penn State's quarterback, Drew Aller, he has really good statistics, but we were told this year he was going to be airing it out, getting some big plays. While he's got 9 touchdowns and 1 interception, it's been more the same of what you saw last year, a little bit more conservative, a little bit more underneath. Something to keep an eye out is, does Penn State, do they have some big play capability? Because I think they're going to need it going against USC.
Last one for you, Danny. Texas, Oklahoma, 14.5-point favorites over the Sooners. And I think sometimes the last impression in your mind, we saw Oklahoma play Tennessee, and that game really was no indication because the score looked a lot closer than what the game was. Tennessee dominated that game against OU. They've made the change at quarterback now, going up against Texas, and now they got the bullseye on them. Everybody's trying to go after the Longhorns, and you don't need a lot of motivation when Texas plays Oklahoma.
Mike, I was astounded at this number. Over 2 touchdowns in a rivalry game. And I think Texas is the best team in the country. I've got them ranked number 1. I think they're the best team right now. They've looked the best. But there's a couple really interesting things about this game. You mentioned Michael Hawkins, who had his first start on the road at Auburn, in which they got a win. He played okay, but I think he'll be more comfortable after another bye week, getting healthier, getting more familiar with the system. And don't forget, Texas, I know Arch Manning was awesome in the two games that he started, but don't forget, the reason he started is Quinn Ewers was hurt. And so I expect, and I think Stark has already announced it there at Texas, Quinn Ewers to come back. But is he rusty at all in this game after that abdominal strain? You know, and I do think Oklahoma's defense is something we're probably sleeping on, and that is a challenge. And we saw this matchup last year. Texas wasn't a 14-point favorite. They were a touchdown favorite and lost the game outright to Oklahoma. So it's a big number in this matchup. I think Texas will win, but there's no way I'm laying that many points against a rivalry game that's just, you know, going to be, you know, the motions are going to be wild. We've typically seen close finishes. I think Texas wins, maybe even by 10 points, but over 2 touchdowns, that's way too many points for me. I can't wait to watch this one too.
I agree with you totally on that one, Danny. Danny, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Wish you, the family, best of luck with everything at the home out in Florida. And, man, our thoughts and prayers are with that area. We've been through it enough down here. And, yeah. Man, you see it in Florida, too. So we get used to it. It looks as though now we'll have this hurricane season stuff up until November or maybe beyond today. But, hey, it's the price for living down here in the South that you know you're going to have those events happen.
Exactly. Mike, great. Just to make sure your listeners know I'm not a bad dad, my teenager, we live on the southeast corner of Florida, so we didn't get hit with anything very serious. We were pretty lucky, but prayers for those people in the Tampa Bay area and that west coast of Florida, which looks like they're still getting pounded as we speak.
Danny, thanks so much, and God bless you, and thanks so much for joining me this afternoon.
You got it, Mike. Great catching up.
Same here. That was Danny Cannell, college football analyst for CBS Sports, host of Cover 3 College Football Podcast.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to LinkedIn.com/results to claim your credit. That's LinkedIn.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.